This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ask any group of people to keep a secret, and you're guaranteed that there's going to be trouble. More likely than not, the cat will be left out of the bag, especially if that information is sensational or life-changing. This morning's gospel presents Simon Peter, the one who is the spokesperson, the leader of the apostles, and the first disciple to truly confess who Jesus is. Jesus is that long-expected Messiah. Jesus is the anointed one of God. He is the living Son of God. Peter says all of that in response to the question that is asked of him: who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? At this particular moment, Peter stands out as the smartest of the 12, and he is rewarded. Upon his words, he's promised that his faith, his words, will be the foundation of building the church. It is a gift of authority that is given to him, not only to lead this motley group of disciples, but also as the one who will bind or loose sins. This is perhaps why Peter has been assigned to be at the pearly gates of heaven. He becomes the divine Santa Claus that determines whether you are naughty or nice. But what exciting news this is for Peter to make this revelation and for the disciples to hear this. It is good news. It is something worthy of calling in the television stations, getting it out on the media, getting it into the newspapers. What an opportunity to share this good news that the Messiah is finally among us. But that is not to be. Note that at the very close of this gospel lesson, it says, "Then Jesus sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah." Not to tell anyone. No one. Mum's the word. This is a secret. You must keep it to yourselves. It is a secret. Perhaps along with those disciples, you and I are now wondering, why is it that Jesus was emphatic about keeping his messiahship a secret? Why can they not announce this very special moment? Think of it this way. Why would Jesus, knowing that what human beings are like, especially when you have a large group, and you share some information that is life-changing or dramatic, as a whole, someone is going to leak that information. It's going to spread like wildfire. Jesus knows that. The disciples aren't going to be quiet about this. So why does this happen? Jesus owned up at this particular time to who he truly is. All the disciples now know. They may not understand, but they know. Does he really think that they are not going to leak this out into the broader community? It's important to note that repeatedly through the Gospels of the New Testament, Jesus tries again and again to keep things quiet about who he is and his purpose. Episcopal priest Charles Hoffaker puts the situation this way. He writes, "It's not just this once that Jesus wants his identity to stay a secret. Repeatedly through the Gospels, he tries to keep from becoming the talk of whatever town he's in. Yet when he performed such deeds as healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, when he fulfills his messianic job description, how are people expected to keep this identity to themselves? And why should they? What he does in one community after another is a publicist's dream. The guy's got the makings of a star. He's going to be big, really big. So the question for us is, why is Jesus wanting to be unrecognized? The most convincing and scholarly explanation, I believe, is that Jesus is not willing to be identified as the Messiah outside of the context of what is yet to come, as they are now traveling to Jerusalem to his crucifixion, his death, and resurrection. None of this, of being a Messiah, could be understood until those events occur. Because this is what really helps us to understand. The events that are to occur open up a floodgate of what Messiahship is truly all about. Hearing that he is the Messiah before these events of the cross and resurrection will only lead to misunderstandings, to false information, to lies. Suffering, death, and resurrection helps to define who Jesus is as the Messiah. Otherwise, we will only see Jesus as some divine problem solver, a Santa Claus who meets all our needs, a divine Mr. Fix-It. Jesus does not want his ministry to be seen for something other than it is intended to be. You see, death and resurrection, we really truly do not see the Messiah as he truly is, as one who has suffered and died and rose for the likes of us. Otherwise, we paint him to be one who pampers us and fills our whims and desires and makes our life easy. The Lord Jesus does not want his disciples then and even today to believe something other than what he truly is about. At this present moment, it is his desire for these disciples to have this insight, to know his identity as the anointed of God. And a fuller revelation will be made within a short period of time as they now enter into Jerusalem, and his death and resurrection will occur. And it is only until Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit descends upon these apostles, that their hearts and minds will truly be opened and fully comprehend what Jesus' Messiahship is truly about. It may not seem logical in our way of thinking that Jesus wants details about himself kept secret, but I personally believe that it was not only applicable then, it is also applicable today, because we have all kinds of crazy understandings of Jesus today. In Jesus' day, there was expectations of a Messiah that truly did not represent our Lord Jesus Christ. They had expectations like he's going to be this military hero that's going to throw off the yoke of the Romans and restore the kingdom as it was under King David. They had expectations that perhaps he'll be the second Moses, the great lawgiver, that will tell us exactly how to live and what to do, or perhaps even be a high priest. But this is not what Jesus was about. This is not what he taught. This is not what his work revealed. It is not until their hearts and minds of those apostles are opened after the crucifixion and resurrection that they truly comprehend what this is all about. People today continue to misunderstand Jesus because we want and we expect something different of our Messiah than what God has already given to us. We want a Lord and Savior that doesn't expect much of us. God forbid that we even should get up on Sunday morning and go to church. The Savior laying down new rules for us. Why do we need to follow them? What is this love thing all about? Does he really expect us to follow his ways, practice forgiveness? Why did the Savior have to die? Why can't following Jesus be easy? Why can't it be comforting? Why can't it grant us all kinds of material blessings? Really? Is that the kind of Lord and Savior we really need? If that is true, then what the gospel tells us is truly scandalous. However, what is scandalous is the fact that God has chosen to reveal God in this one individual. And this one being who is the Word made flesh, who becomes the manifestation of God's presence on earth, love incarnate, teaching us the ways of love and grace and what it means to have a purposeful, grace-filled, and meaningful life. And this is only the start, because the gospel goes on to reveal that Christ reveals himself more fully to us. It not only occurred in our baptisms because we are one with Christ, as God abides in us and we abide in Christ, it doesn't happen just because of the miracle stories and the teachings, but as one scholar says, it happens because of the events of this gruesome death and incomprehensible resurrection. It happens because of the gruesome death and incomprehensible resurrection. And that scandal continues to intensify. The cross and resurrection indeed make no sense to us personally unless we also acknowledge that experience of our own dying and rising in Christ. There are plenty of versions in the world today of what Jesus is all about. And once again, he has become a big star, a big image for all. Some of the versions are authentic, but most of them are just trash. What makes the version of Jesus authentic? It's not some denominational or cultural label or any marking that says this life is going to be easy. What makes a version of Jesus the real thing and not a human fantasy is whether invariably we focus on what is most important, and that is the revelation of divine love. Love that claims you and me as beloved. Love that makes us who we are. Love that cares for us deeply. And that can only occur in our own dying and rising again. If we are to be called Christians, members of the church, members of the body of Christ, we need to accept this Messiah who died and was risen, not only 2,000 years ago, but today. The crucified and risen Christ is in our own lives. And it is only then, as we recognize it, that we are truly dealing with the authentic Messiah, Jesus, our Lord. Moreover, this is indeed great news. It can't be kept a secret, unfortunately. The world, the one that you and I live in on a daily basis, is in need of this love, of this good news. The world is dying to meet the Messiah through you and through me. And so let us go into the world to love and to serve our God. Amen.